Those in Gen Z and some, what I'd call some hungers I've seen in Gen Z, and just some ways that we can kind of meet those desires or those hungers, some strategies for meeting those. And I really believe that with Gen Z, and I already said this earlier, but we want to be the kind of leaders that champion them as a young person, champion them to be everything God's called them to be, disciple them, raise them up in the Word of God, get them activated, but then we want to release them. That Gen Z is full of innovation. They're full of new ideas. They're full of like, man, I want to take on leadership. I want to do new things. We need to find ways to release them and say, yes, go pioneer that thing. You're 19 years old. You're, you know, you barely know what you're doing, but I'm going to walk with you, but I'm also going to release you a bit and say, hey, go do this thing and I'm going to support you in it. And I just think about, once again, Jesus and his disciples, the patience Jesus had with these guys. And he would walk with these guys. He showed them by example, you know, how to do things. He showed them how he would heal the sick. He was teaching them the same parables, but then he would take time away from them to pour into them, to explain the parables. And hey, this is what I really meant. Kind of pull back the curtain. He would also take time to send them out and say, hey, now you guys go and do what I've been doing. Go out on this mission trip, you know, in pairs of two. And I want you to go and be the hands and feet. And then after 3.5 years, Jesus thought, hey, this is enough time. Now I can send you guys out with the Holy Spirit to literally go reach the whole world. I mean, that must have been a little scary for Jesus, but not really. But you know, it would have been scary for me. I'd be like, these guys, I don't know if they got it. But they clearly, you know, the Holy Spirit has used them to launch the global movement that we are in this room because of the obedience of those 11 guys who stepped out in faith, who walked with the Holy Spirit and began a missions movement from the Great Commission that has reached us here today, you know, 2,000 years later. And so there's something about championing and sending youth that's so important. And I think, you know, last year, I mentioned this earlier, but this was just such a good experience for me. I went on this trip for 2 months going to different college campuses with a van full of Gen Zers. Anthony was one of them. He's right here. And it was wild. But I just started seeing things in Gen Z that was really encouraging me. I feel like I've known things about Gen Z. I've worked with Gen Z for a while. I've spoken to Gen Z. But then I felt like I was with some really true Gen Zers on my team. And so just was learning a lot. But something I noticed, guys, is, man, when we went out, the mission was we're going to go to college campuses. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to gather a group of Christians and talk about the Great Commission. And when we first went to college campuses, one of our first stops was at Florida State University. And it was so hard to share the gospel. I don't know what it was, but you know, we just were like, this is tough. Like, there's so many people. You finally get the boldness to be like, hey, can I talk to you about something? You start a conversation. And it just felt like most of the people there didn't want anything to do with it. And it was really tough. And I remember the students coming back and I was feeling a little discouraged, like, man, that was kind of tough. And the students come back just like, man, I don't know if I can do this for 2 months. Like, this is really challenging. But what we saw is it actually built a grit in our students, is that over time we'd go to college campus after college campus and be like, hey, we're going to go out. We're going to evangelize on this college campus for 2 hours. So I want you to go find someone and you're going to go tell them the gospel. And we would do this time and time again. And I just saw that a boldness grew in them so quickly to share the gospel, grit to endure, you know, people disagreeing with us or people not wanting to hear it. But then they started to see the fruit and it built this grit and excitement in their hearts to go after it. And I was, you know, I was trying to walk with some of them, show them this is how you do it. But it was like, soon after that, they just ran with it and they were taking it further than I could have imagined, to the point, I'll share just a couple of my favorite moments from it. Was one time we were, you know, hosting a night, like a worship night in someone's apartment. And I think maybe two people showed up or like no one was coming. And I think Anthony was one of the ones who really started this. He's like, let's just go door to door in this neighborhood until we get people to come to this worship night. And I was like, okay, like, you can go do that. That's fine. So he goes out, I think with Micah, I don't remember, but Zeke, two of them go out and they go door to door in this college neighborhood, inviting everyone to come to a worship night. And they're just texting us, hey, people are really excited about this. You know, they're really nice. We're going to keep going. And eventually one of the guys comes back, but Anthony didn't. I was like, where's Anthony? He's like, I'm going to keep going. And he like goes like this whole neighborhood. I was like, man, the endurance and the excitement. And we actually had someone come to the worship night from that. But it was just that grit of like, nah, I'm going to go and invite people. People are going to come to this. I feel like God wants to do something here. We started going to more northern states where it's cold outside and it was hard to find people on college campuses. And so they decided, let's get on the buses, the college campus buses, and let's just sit by people and just talk to them about Jesus. And they would just ride the buses on these college campuses, you know, for miles and have conversations with people about Jesus. One of our students got on a bus, met some guys from a frat. They invited him to this frat house and he's sharing the gospel at the whole frat house. And they're like, we love this guy. He's amazing. You know, so it was just so amazing. It's like they had such an excitement and endurance. One of my favorite stories was at the end of that tour, we had a small college campus in Missouri. And one of our students went inside the student union. And in the student union, they were having a little karaoke time. So people, you know, someone literally had just finished singing Party in the USA. And then, you know, he goes up to the person running the karaoke and just says, hey, I have something I want to share about my faith. Is that okay if I share it? They're like, sure. And so they give him the mic. And so he goes up in the student union, whoever's there, and he just shares his testimony, preaches the gospel. And he says, this was on my heart. I just want to tell you what Jesus has done in my life. And people afterwards are cheering for him, like, that was awesome, you know? And it's a secular university. But they saw in him a boldness. And what we saw on that trip, I mean, this has been months after, is that students are like Instagram DMing our team. Hey, you might not remember me, but you talked to me at that ice cream shop at University of Tennessee or Oklahoma, wherever we were. And you shared your faith with me and I was a Christian. And I was so scared and unactive in my faith. But since you shared your faith with me, I made a commitment to share the gospel every day. It's like, what? You know, it was just like, I mean, story after story after story of like, you have no idea what that one conversation did. And it felt like on the trip, it felt like we're running these small grassroots events. Hopefully this is doing something. But the individual lives that were touched because they saw a group of Gen Zers being like, I'm giving it my all. They saw them release. They saw them activate and champion to share the gospel. It was starting movement that has carried on even after we've gone. And so I say that to say that if we champion Gen Z well and we find opportunities to release them, man, they're going to do so much more than we can imagine. And it just catches on in Gen Z. Gen Z are so hungry for authenticity, for genuineness. When they see someone carry a genuine faith, authentic faith, it's not just like, this is my rehearsed thing, but it's like authentic faith, man, they're like, I want that. It's just an immediate heart connect with Gen Z. And so guys, you know, there's so many things we could talk about Gen Z, but these are just four, what I call hungers that I've kind of seen in Gen Z that I think could be something that we can meet the needs of. And if we champion them in these areas and disciple them in these areas and then release them, that we can really see some amazing things happen. So the first thing, the first hunger I'd say is that they're hungry for relationships, hungry for relationships. So let me show you this quick. There we go. So this is a study that Barna did talking about emotional health in generations. I don't know if you can read that very well, but essentially they were looking at, you know, how often, if ever, do you feel the following? Uncertain about the future, Gen Z, 39%. Anxious about important decisions, Gen Z, 39%. Lonely, 28%. Isolated from others, 26%. Okay, you can see, you know, millennials isn't too far off from that, but then it drops pretty considerably going to the other generations. The reality is that loneliness, isolation is actually on the rise in Gen Z, that they are one of the loneliest generations we've seen. And it's kind of ironic because Gen Z has grown up with, you know, smartphones and the digital age at their fingertips. So they've been able to communicate with their friends from hundreds of miles away for years. I mean, they're so connected through Instagram, through whatever, they can connect really well digitally, but it is still creating loneliness. That it's kind of creating a false sense of connection. There is some connection there, but what they actually desire is true in-person connection. And they actually, you know, did more studies on this, and they found that Gen Z actually, 54% strongly agree that in-person relationship is more valuable than digital relationships. And then 30% of them also somewhat agree. So at least, you know, 84% of Gen Z somewhat agree or strongly agree that they would prefer in-person over digital. And I think sometimes, you know, especially with ministry stuff, right, we gotta get the coolest Instagram so we can reach Gen Z. And that's true, you know, they are on Instagram, but there's something to be said for when we can get Gen Zers and teach them about how to have in-person relationships and how to build relationships. Because we as humans need that in-person relationship with each other, but we also need that relationship with the Lord. So as we're looking at this hunger they have for this, we need to look at how can we teach them to have these in-person relationships? How can we teach them to have healthy relationships? Another study they did said that over 3 in 5 Gen Z strongly or somewhat agree with the statement that I wish I spent less time online. Okay, Gen Z in the room, how many of you guys wish you spent less time online? You look at your screen time and you're like, I'm a horrible person. You know, so I mean, I don't know if you feel that way, but if I ever look at my screen time, I'm like, how is that many hours? That makes no sense. Surely I didn't check my phone that much. But we do, because we're kind of addicted. So this is the thing, guys, that we need to disciple this. We need to grow in this. That we need to walk with Gen Z and teach them in-person relationships. Provide an outlet for that in a healthy context. So the solution here, like it just says, teach them how to have relationships. The first part of that is teaching them how to have a relationship with the one true God. That is going to be their most beneficial, most fulfilling relationship they could ever have. And it's something that I'm sure many of us have dealt with, where we try to find fulfillment in relationships outside of that, whether in a partner of someone that you're trying to date, or even just a friend, and you have this, you know, you're trying to get something from them, but what you really need is the satisfaction from God and a contentment in knowing the creator of the universe. The best part about this is that Jesus longs to have relationship with each and every one of us. He wants to meet them. We just need to teach them how to have that relationship. If we can teach them how to practically know God intimately through the Bible, through prayer, that's going to make a huge difference. The second part is teach them how to have healthy relationships with each other. So one is just being their friend, like being there for Gen Zers, connecting with them, creating spaces to connect with them, to be an example of what it means to have a healthy relationship. I mean, there's the whole thing about, you know, cancel culture, like, you know, if that person's doing that to you, just write them out of your life. If your parents don't agree with you, just write them out of your life. And that is a really unhealthy way to do it. I mean, the way of Jesus, many ways, being a person of peace, bringing reconciliation. And we need to teach them how to have healthy conflict, that you can actually disagree with someone and still be friends. And so we need to teach them, how do we have conflict resolution? Instead of just canceling out people, how do we like actually reconcile with each other and have healthy friendships centered around Jesus? Number two, they're really hungry for truth or for purpose. So I want to show you just John 18. I think we all know this story, but John 18, this is Jesus with Pilate when he's on trial. I just thought this was kind of an interesting passage to kind of compare to this. But Jesus on trial, John 18, 36. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." What is truth? Pilate asked. Okay, so when I look at Gen Z, I really think this is kind of a question that Gen Z is wrestling with. Like, what really is truth? You know, once again, to pull some stats from Barna's research here, when they were kind of talking about morals or beliefs, They are much more willing to believe that what is morally right or wrong depends on what an individual believes. Okay, so 60% agree with that. Depending on what an individual believes, is what is morally right or wrong, meaning it's up to each individual person what's right or wrong. Obviously, that's not good. Like, that's a little scary. Even though 66% of them actually agree that you need evidence to support your beliefs, still, they don't agree. Nearly 3 in 5 Gen Z agree that there are facts we can know about scientific questions, but when it comes to religious or moral questions, we can't know facts about that stuff. Isn't that kind of scary? But, okay, here's the thing that I think is so key with this, guys. When they also did studies of this, they just asked Gen Zers, and I love this question. They said, are you motivated to keep learning about Jesus throughout your life? All Gen Zers. 77% of all Gen Zers are somewhat agree that they are motivated to learn about Jesus during their life. The rest of their life, 77%. Isn't that crazy? It's like 75% of them are like, yeah, I want to learn more about Jesus in my lifetime. I mean, just talk about a softball pitch. It's not like they're like, yeah, we're skeptical about that Jesus guy. He's like, no, I'm actually kind of interested. And most of them have that kind of antenna of like, yeah, I want to hear about it. So there's an interest there, guys. And I think that speaks to a desire in their hearts to know truth. And just like Jesus was saying there, anyone who's on the side of truth is on my side, because I came into the world to testify to the truth. So if they're already interested in Jesus, truth, and eventually that's going to cause you to create alignment with Jesus and the truth in your life. Does that make sense? And so there's an interest there, guys. There's a hunger. On top of that, Gen Z is, I've said this before, but Gen Z is coming back to the church. This is some of those stats with that. So this is number of weekends U.S. churchgoers attend church per month. So there's actually been a huge reversal where Gen Z is actually the most, they're the top generation attending church, essentially. They're attending church the most frequently. So 1.9, so essentially 2 weekends a month, Gen Zers are going to church. That's flipped in like the recent couple years. So there's obviously an interest in truth. There's obviously a hunger. And it kind of pairs with that relationship side of things too. I think they're looking for true relationships and they're looking to the church for that. And we need to be the answer to that. We can't just be like, this is our thing and give it the program, but we need to like find them in our church and be like, hey, let's seek you out. Let's have a relationship with you. Let's be intentional to teach you the truth. And I really believe they want to know the truth. This is one story briefly about this. There's a student who came and did our camp here a couple years ago, and he had not really known about Jesus. He knew of him, but didn't give his life to Jesus. But at the camp, he gave his life to Jesus, was kind of transformed by the gospel. And we encouraged him afterwards, hey, you know, start reading your Bible. So he started reading it at camp, starting in the gospels. And me and Jacob and Greg, we checked in with him a little bit later, and he had like flown through most of the gospels. So we sat down with him at Chick-fil-A, and the questions this guy had, I was just blown away by the hunger for the Word of God. It was just like he was just a sponge, and he totally was getting it. And man, he took that, he continued to run with it. I mean, he was just soaking it in, reading through the whole New Testament, starting in the Old Testament. He came and did a couple weeks seminar on our campus, and now he's actually doing the DTS here. So there's a hunger for truth, guys, in this generation. If we meet that hunger for truth, once again, they're going to take it further. You supply the resource. Hey, let me give you biblical training that actually applies to your life. It's relevant to you today. The Bible is always relevant to every generation. Here's the relevance. We don't need to change the words. It's still true to them, and they'll get it. And then they'll want more of it. They'll get more hungry for it. We've even seen in the last, 3-4 years, we totally re-pioneered our Bible schools that we ran here because they were some of our least attended schools. They were totally dying out. And we had a kind of a recentering on the Word of God in our community, and we re-pioneered 2 new Bible schools here. Now they are 2 of our most attended schools on this campus. Students are always hungry to do those schools. Just curious, raise your hand if you've done a Bible school here. I'm just curious. Okay, so there's some of that. So that's some of like, there's hunger for truth to like do these kind of trainings to know the Word of God. So we need to disciple them in the Bible. And part of this, guys, is, you know, sermons are so good, but there needs to be an even more intentional discipleship of sitting down with students and just reading the Bible with them. And really, we need to explain the storyline of the Bible. Does that make sense? Because sometimes students are like, I get like the Jesus thing. Like that's like the one thing I get. I don't understand anything else except for kind of some like token verses I've pulled out that I think are true. But when we actually take the time to, one, ourselves know the whole storyline of the Bible and then walk them through that, it just opens another level to them to hunger for truth. When we teach them that the Old Testament is still relevant to them, it's a whole paradigm shift. So we need to disciple them in the Bible. So I would encourage us, we need to come up with creative solutions to meet this need. Outside of things we've done for years, what are creative ways we can teach Gen Zers to engage with the Bible? Outside of just a traditional sermon or traditional Bible study, how do we engage them with the Bible? Number three is purpose and drive. Purpose and drive. Gen Z is a generation that is, they're looking for greater purpose. I see this all the time where they want something greater than themselves to be a part of. They're very ambitious, they're very entrepreneurial, but eventually they're kind of wondering, what's this all for? And we have the reason, it's Jesus. And when we supply a big vision for them, it's gonna supply a huge purpose. They also are huge like on challenge. Like they love to be challenged. When you challenge them, they take it and run with it. Something, just a note on just kind of ambition with Gen Z, something very interesting has happened when, you know, if you were to watch a video of someone going to the Eiffel Tower, and then let's say Greg here has been to the Eiffel Tower. For whatever reason, our brains, when I watch the video of, you know, someone going to the Eiffel Tower and they have multiple camera views and it's really well done, and I watch them go all the way up and all the way down, and then for whatever reason, my brain registers that as a real experience. Even though it's not real, I'm not at the Eiffel Tower. Our brain has a hard time differentiating between the virtual experience and then the actual experience. So if they were to watch that, then it's like, oh, I feel like it's kind of generates this feeling of like, I've been there. How many of you guys watch cooking shows or baking shows, okay? I've been on a recent binge of Great British Bake Off, okay? It's just amazing. But I was watching it, I've been watching it like every night the last week, it's bad. But it makes me feel like I can bake these cakes. Do you guys ever feel that way? I feel like, oh, I could do that. Oh, I feel accomplished like that, I did that. But it, no, I didn't. Like, you know, I have nothing to do with that. But it creates this sense in you like, I've been a part of that. You haven't. You weren't there. It was a virtual experience. Guys, the problem with this is that Gen Z and all of us are consuming digital content all day long, especially Gen Z. They're watching really well-made videos or playing incredibly realistic video games that are driving this ambition. It's like, oh, I wanna go, you know, whatever, save the world. Well, I can do that in a video game. I know that sounds very dumb, but that's, think about the ambition there. Essentially, young men can do all these things in video games and it's draining their actual real life ambition. Like they're losing the drive and desire to actually achieve things because their brain is kind of showing them, oh, you've kind of already done that. You know, you've kind of achieved greatness in this video game. And I know like none of us would say that out loud, right? But it's the feelings that it's actually generating. It's actually science that this is actually happening. I say all that to say that we need to provide Gen Z with a real challenge and purpose. The solution to this hunger is challenging them to step into true purpose and challenging them to share their faith. I'm telling you, when they catch hold of this, it's going to just catch fire. They won't want to do anything else but share their faith. If they catch a great purpose, if you're like, hey man, Gen Z, your purpose is stacking chairs. You know, that's, we do need to teach them servant heartedness, but that's like, that's the top tip of the iceberg, or not tip of the iceberg, that's like the high point of your releasing is you're the chair stacking guy. Like, they're gonna be like, I'm not gonna show up here anymore. This sucks. Like, But if you're like, hey, we're going to go hit the streets, we're going to share the gospel, and you're going to come with me, I'm going to start the conversation, you're going to share about Jesus. Like, they're going to catch it and they're going to run with it. I remember my youth pastor would have us do these minute messages at our church and youth group. He'd let me go up for like 1 minute and share a minute message. Well, then eventually he trained me on how to preach a full message. And as like a 16-year-old, he would let me preach at the youth group. And they were terrible sermons. I mean, they were horrible. I was so bad at preparing. But it was that kind of like, he was giving me an outlet. And it worked because it kind of gave me confidence. And then I learned from that place. Does that make sense? So we really need to make sure that we're challenging them. It's challenging them to the truth of the Bible. And that's making sure that you're living out what the Bible says. And when you challenge them to it, you are showing them, I'm living this in my life. You need to start living this in your life. You need to take them out to share their faith. Give them an outlet to share their faith. Like, go talk to some strangers. Okay? If you're not comfortable doing that, get comfortable doing it. Because it's going to do something in a Gen Zer's heart when they're like, I shared with another Gen Zer about Jesus. It just breaks something in them that's like, I want to keep doing this. I want to keep going. It's a confidence raiser, but it also drives some ambition. And then, man, take them on mission trips. Get them, whether it's stateside or out of the country, get them out somewhere where there's a real need and they can see a real need face to face, because it's going to challenge the heck out of them. I remember my family moved to Guatemala when I was, 10 years old, 12 years old as missionaries for 2 years. I had never seen poverty like that. I mean, I couldn't even comprehend the poverty that people were living in. But it changed my whole worldview forever, because I understood that the world was way bigger than my one little small town in Iowa that I'd grown up in. It just blew my worldview out of the box. If you can get them out of the country, get them or even just to a different part of the country that's in a worse condition than yours, and they see a real need, they're going to catch great purpose and great ambition to meet real needs. Does that make sense? Okay, so we need to be willing to show them that and then release them when they start catching vision. Hey, I want to get out, you know, every Tuesday and share my faith. Be like, okay, I'm going to make every Tuesday the day that I come with you until you can do this on your own. I'm going to release you into this. Okay, the last hunger that I really see in them is they long for your investment. And guys, this is so true. I mean, I'm 27 years old. I'm not that old. I'm technically Gen Z. And it's so easy for me to feel old around Gen Zers here. And I just feel irrelevant if I'm being completely vulnerable and honest. There's sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm irrelevant to these Gen Zers. You know what I mean? And it's just different than who I am. Is true Gen Zers are way different than who I am. That's just the reality. But the reality is that despite our differences, Gen Zers are actually looking for investment from people who have experience, from people who have been living out the Christian walk longer than us. They're looking for time and investment and poured into mentorship. So we can't underestimate, you know, just walking alongside a Gen Zer or a young person and giving them our time and effort. If we just give them the time of day, it creates discipleship. If you can just be like, let's go to Chick-fil-A once a week, man, it's gonna touch their heart. And I remember, you know, my high school principal, I just think of all the people poured in my life. It's like, I wouldn't be here without them. My high school principal, he would take me out for meals and I would miss a class period. And he'd be like, let's go get tacos and we'll talk about Jesus. And he would just encourage me in my faith. He pulled me out of my class to pray for me in his office. And it just that intentional time that I knew he was looking out for me, he believed in me and he championed me in who I was in Jesus, it just supercharged my faith because I knew that there was someone backing me up. They want that investment from someone, even if you're like 2 years older than them or even the same age, but you have a little bit more experience, you have something to offer. If you can offer them time and prayer and just some encouragement from the Word of God, it's going to supercharge their faith and championing them into who they're meant to do, meant to be. One thing I'll say about this is that, you know, this takes humility. And it has to take humility to be like, I'm not just going to train you to do it my way, right? To just be like, you have to do it exactly how I was taught to do it. Because Gen Z is so innovative, they're going to find new ways to do it. that will probably be more relevant than yours was or is currently. So we need to be willing to teach them, this is how I did it, or here's the timeless truths from what I'm doing. Here's what the Word of God teaches that we should not stray from. But innovate off this and figure out what to do. You can teach them what you've been doing, but when they find a new way to do it, don't step in with your pride and be like, no, you have to do it my way. We got to walk in humility and be willing to be teachable from these Gen Zers. But what they're looking for is discipleship. They're looking for people walking with them and just loving on them. They just need people to walk with them, love on them, and tell them they believe in them. So like I said, the solution then is investing in their lives. This is just, I mean, it's so the way of Jesus. I just think of Jesus with those disciples again. 3.5 years camping out with these guys, going, you know, house to house, just doing a 3.5 year tour. I mean, it's insane. And he's living with these guys who are clearly just sometimes idiotic. And you're like, man, these guys just don't get it. But Jesus had so much patience to love on them and invest in their lives. So one thing I'd say with this is, man, invite these students to do life with you. If you know, if you have a family, invite them over and be like, hey, let's have dinner with my family. So you can model what your family is like. If you're going on a trip, you know, maybe you're going on a mission, a ministry trip, and you can raise some extra money and say, you know, can you come with me? Invite them to come with you and pay their way to go. That's going to make the world a difference to me. Like, come get this intentional time with me. Come sit with me next to me on the plane. Let's talk. Let's go to this ministry thing that I'm speaking at. If you can just bring them along, it's going to, man, it's going to speak volumes to them and champion and release them into their calling. Does that make sense? All right. So those four things, hunger, purpose, relationships, and truth, and then your investment are so key. So guys, I mean, if I could just encourage you, it's just you just trying to do something is a great start. And I remember a leader telling me once, I was starting a new kind of ministry here, and it was kind of working, kind of not. And I was explaining to this person who had a lot of authority in the topic, you know, what I was doing. And she just looked at me and said, at least you're doing something. Like, there's so many people who are just doing nothing. Like, they're doing nothing about that, but you are doing something. So if I can just encourage you for a minute, you know, you don't have to be the most like relevant, trendy Gen Z youth pastor or pastor, whatever. Just be yourself, but meet them with humility and love and do something, and it will be enough. God will use that. He'll teach you as you go. And just be yourself and love on them with humility and grace, being willing to be teachable, and it's going to go a long ways. Does that make sense? So real quick, we're going to do just some quick discussion at our tables kind of around this topic. I'm going to put up these questions. So I'm going to put these questions. I want you guys just to kind of read through these questions and discuss them at your table, and then we'll take a break before we step into our next session. So three questions. What challenges have you faced in trying to disciple Gen Z as it relates to these four things? What success have you had in discipling them? And what are some new ways that you can meet these hungers that we talked about today? So hopefully there were some ideas coming to mind as I was talking. And now as you guys kind of talk together, I hope you can get some new thoughts around these ideas, okay? So we'll take 10 minutes on this, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll jump into the next thing. So everyone good? All right, 10 minutes of discussion. Go for it.